Good afternoon. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Last week we addressed mainly the men, but as I told the ladies, there was a lot of application for you all the way along. And men, you cannot relax this afternoon, but we are going to be addressing mainly the ladies. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm not going to do the whole section, but decided to split into two parts where it naturally divides. So 1 Timothy 2, let's just read together verse 9 and 10. Right after telling men to pray in every place and to lift holy hands, he immediately says, likewise, also that the woman should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. We need to take this reading in the context of the clothing of the day, obviously, and what may be braided hair and gold and apparels may for a woman today just be a tight pair of jeans with that's already got split open, and you pay extra for the splits in the jeans and these fancy sneakers or whatever it is that women like to adorn themselves with, but I'm sure you get the picture. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul has instructed Timothy regarding the urgent need for prayer by the Lord's people, and particularly in the gathered worship, in the house of prayer. And you may have noticed that Paul is very particular in his teaching about prayer and to instruct regarding the prayers themselves. We've seen the scope of the prayer, who the proper recipients of the prayer need to be, the location of the prayer, the frequency of these prayers, and we've looked at a number of things. And then the conclusion or the summary of this important instruction of prayer, we noticed last Lord's Day in verse 8, where he addressed the men, and he said, I desire then that in every place men should pray, lifting holy hands without quarreling or anger or quarreling. Observing there the proper persons who are to pray in the gathered church, the necessary requirements and the demeanor and even the posture that we looked at of those who pray, and most importantly, the state of the heart of those who lift up holy hands in prayer in the assembly of God's people, leading them to the throne of grace with supplications and prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving for every class of people, for all men. Then we come in our text today in verses 9 and 10, and Paul turns his instruction to the woman still in the context of worship and prayer, because he says, in the same way, how must women then conduct themselves? That's really what he is saying there in worship and prayer. In effect, saying not only those who are appointed to pray are required to prepare themselves correctly, their hearts and their demeanor and their posture, but the women who have also gathered to worship are to properly prepare themselves as they guard their steps as they come draw near to worship. Likewise, also that woman. The subject is still unchanged, and he's talking about the gathered worship of God in the house of prayer. And as I said, I've split this into two parts because the last section has one or two things that need addressing that are not that clear and have confused the church for many centuries and still confuse the church a little. We'll get to that in verses 11 to 15 the next time we're together. What does Paul teach women about preparing for worship or coming into the Lord's house, having addressed the men and their responsibility, particularly in prayer? For the woman, it is this. Women are to desire and to adorn themselves with inward beauty. So go back to that time before church or the gathering, whether you're in your dresser in front of the mirror. Paul instructs Timothy, women are to desire and adorn themselves with inward beauty. And that is the thrust of what he says. Verse 9 and 10 again. Likewise, that women should also adorn themselves with respectable apparel. So he's talking about clothes and outward things, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. And there's a parallel passage which you may have already thought of and that we should refer to today, one that Pastor Sam has preached on in 1 Timothy chapter 3 during his study, and he was pretty thorough there, making my job easier, and one of reinforcing the truths of God's word. And this should confirm in our minds the importance of godly conduct in the home and in God's house for men and women, since the Holy Scripture brings multiple scriptures to us in this teaching, and the teaching's very similar in both passages, though by different authors, the same original author, obviously, the Holy Spirit. Let's read together the passage in 1 Peter that I'll read. You needn't turn there. It's verses 1 to 6. You can turn there if you like. That's the parallel passage, which is a slightly different context, but pretty much the same thing. Likewise, speaking of wives and husbands in that context, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some who do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let the adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's eyes is very precious. Men love beauty. Men love to see their wives looking beautiful. Men love to see beautiful women, if we're honest. But in God's eyes, there's an inner beauty which is very precious to him. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. And in the First Peter passage, it starts with marriage and the witness of the believing wife to the sometimes unbelieving husband. And then Peter moves on to the public witness of the wife, of the woman, in the church and in the world. And he uses the same argument that Paul uses, that of inward beauty followed by modesty in dress and demeanor. Quite simple, and that is the passage before us today, and it's a part of God's word. And I could have just skipped over this today, but we're not going to do that. Let's look at this passage with two headings. Just two headings, a very brief study this afternoon. Number one, inward godliness must lead to outward modesty. Ladies and men, for that matter, inward godliness must lead to outward modesty. Likewise, women should adorn themselves with respectable apparel, with modesty, self-control, not braided hair, gold or pearls, costly attire. And 1 Peter 3 and verse 3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. In other words, we could say, men and women, give careful attention to your lifestyle. And perhaps immediately into our minds should come, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. Men lifting up holy hands in prayer assumes that men must take pains in setting a godly example, not only in the church, but in the home and before the world, a lifestyle that's moderate and not excessive in choices in everyday life. So too he now addresses women in preparing to pray and to worship aright, and because they are women created by God in beauty, that is where he starts. And perhaps we should have read Song of Solomon this afternoon. Pastor Sam preached about holy kisses, and we preached talking about beautiful women in the church. Paul is not forbidding women to style their hair or to wear jewelry or nice clothing. That's not what he's doing. Paul, rather, he was forbidding the imitation of the new elaborate hairstyles and extravagant dress of the times of the Roman court. And scholars have noted that even these hairstyles and jewelry and dresses were depicted at this time on Roman coins of the time. And this was Ephesus in the first century, with extravagant fashions and trends, and people got swept up with this and beauty of the woman. It was all glamour and beauty. And the church was living in these times. As we know, the world has a way of creeping into the church. One scholar noted it would be the equivalent of warning Christians away from the imitations of styles of the promiscuous pop singers or actresses in our modern day, and social media is to thank for that. It's part of our society today. And I scroll through the news and I'm having my coffee in the morning, and there's a film star who's now wearing these lumpy, ugly looking sneakers, and all the young women are tearing down the shops to pay an exorbitant price because this particular film star is wearing that. So that's kind of the equivalent to, and young girls imitate their stars and their hairstyles and dress and shoes and jewelry, and unfortunately women would even emulate their questionable lifestyles. And that is what Paul is warning about in this passage. And brothers and sisters, we know that this starts at a young age, at a young age. And the pressures that face young girls, I'm glad I'm not a young girl in the 21st century. And I have a good example. One of my daughters interviewed her 4.5-year-old daughter. I don't know if it was part of her work or anyway, she had these set questions that she asked her daughter, and her daughter had to respond without thinking, just give the first answer that came to mind. And it's screaming funny. But I just want to give you three as an example of what we're looking at. Question, if you won $1 million, what would you buy? No hesitation, jewelry and a new tiara. Question two, what's your favorite song to dance to? No hesitation, all Taylor Swift music. A 4.5-year-old child. Question, what kind of car do you want to drive when you grow up? No hesitation, a Tessie. Tesla, a Tessie. I want your Tessie wrapped up in purple. That's what my 4.5-year-old grandchild was telling us. And these are the pressures that face our children and our young people. And these are the pressures that faced the woman in the church in the first century, where it was beauty and glamour and so many parts of the world in different ways and different cultures and different dresses, all leading to the same thing. And sadly, this is not only among women, but they're young men who follow stars closely, that they copy the exact hairstyles and the dress, and they'll use the same cologne. Teenagers going to buy exorbitant cologne because my favorite rapper or whatever it is that you're following, regardless of the cost, I gotta have it, Dad. Paul's overriding concern was the way Christian women carried themselves should not distract but enhance their gospel mission. Christian women should be different to the world, with different priorities and different loves, so that they adorn the message that they represent. Verse 10 states, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness. And this must be very different to the world, with good works, with good works. And Paul assists us, both men and women, as to how we may achieve this. As he writes in Colossians 3 and verse 2, this is a verse that immediately came to mind. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Men and women, adorn yourselves with good works. As boring as that may sound. How then should the Christian lady present herself in worship? Perhaps the answer lies in that she should not seek to present herself at all, not draw attention to herself through ornate or excessive clothes or fashion or jewelry. She must, in fact, adorn herself with respectable apparel, with that which is acceptable in the day and age, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold and pearls and costly attire. Paul desires that women should apply modesty and self-control when it comes to their adorning. Luxury and immoderate expense comes from wanting to make a display or for the sake of pride or departure from purity. Like the woman in the Oscars, we just had the Oscars, and I didn't look at the pictures, but my wife told me, did you see the Oscars pictures this year? The elaborate display of as much flesh as possible, and this is what the trend that is going to be set for the children, young women in the 21st century. And Calvin suggests this is where moderation needs to be applied, since dress in itself is an indifferent matter, like all outward things. The difficulty lies in assigning a fixed limit to these things. How far ought we to go? Philippians 4 and verse 5, hence again it says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. In other words, or avoid all excesses and exercise self-control in these outward matters, which are really indifferent as many things in and of themselves. So Paul says, it's common sense, modesty, self-control, not braided hair and gold and pearls or costly attire. And my wife and I raised two daughters, and I suspect it's a lot easier to raise sons. And when they became teenagers, we just come into America, the land of opportunity. They were teenagers, and we were going to the Reformed Baptist Church in Lafayette, and the rules and dress code for our girls when they reached their teenage years was simple. There were simple rules: not too short, not too tight, and not too low. That's it, teenage girls, not too short, not too tight, not too low. And some Lord's days, my girls had to change multiple times before we were actually able to leave for church, before their modesty and their self-control was sufficiently addressed. But they eventually got it. And though the styles that they were proposing for that particular dress occasion were quite acceptable in our day and age, Paul says just modesty and self-control and what is fitting for women who profess the gospel. The scripture passage I would always remind my girls of was of Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting or in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Inward godliness must lead to outward modesty. That's the message. Number two, the second place. Inward beauty is found in godly virtues with self-control. Inward beauty is found in godly virtues with self-control. Verse 10 of our text, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. In other words, here is an appropriate dress. Here is an appropriate adornment for a woman who wants to possess godly virtues. And the parallel passage in verse 4 of 1 Peter 3, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's eyes is very precious. And this is how the holy woman adorned themselves, the text goes on to say. From our text, as well as this parallel, 1 Peter, true virtue and true beauty is to be preferred to outward adorning, which in itself is not wrong. It's okay, woman, if you want to make yourself prettier or put on the lipstick or a little bit of makeup and wear a nice dress and do something nice with it. In fact, it's good and proper for this, for the weaker, the fairer sex, should I say, to enhance the beauty that the Lord had given them. There is nothing wrong in that, primarily for the benefit of her husband or if she's single for her possible suitors. Dull yourself up a bit, yes. It is God who created woman to be beautiful in the eyes of man, and might even suggest in the light of creation, the creation design, the desire for woman to enhance her beauty with her hair and clothing and even the use of accessories is a God-given part of a woman's nature. It is not wrong, and it is good. Abraham was blown away when the wife that was chosen for him was an absolute stunner. She was a beauty. And the Bible emphasizes that she was a beautiful woman, so much so that he made some stupid decisions when he went to Egypt and told the king, this is my sister, because he was scared of the implications there. Esther, who would be chosen to be queen by God's foreknowledge, wonderful plan. This young woman, the Bible tells us, had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And she spent a year in beauty school, 6 months of oils and embalming and fragrances and 6 months of spices and that she may be chosen to be queen. What do you know about Queen Esther? She was a beautiful woman. God made her like that. None of these things are wrong in themselves. Yet Paul warns the ladies, these things are not to be excesses. These things are not to be our primary focus, these external things. And there's something worth far more to pursue. Young women and young men, if you're looking for a wife, take careful note of this, that the young woman who pursues an inner beauty, she will be a catch. Young woman who pursues inner beauty and adornment, she will be a catch. She may not be an Esther, but she will be a catch. For the Christian woman, this adornment must trump all external beauty and adornment. And young ladies, some of you, I know the pressures on young women. I'm not good enough, and I wish I was prettier, and I wish I had better money for better clothes, I could look better, and etc., etc. But the internal beauty, particularly in the context of worship, do not dress or adorn yourself to bring unnecessary attention to yourselves. And remember, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And ladies, you can err on both sides of the scale. It's not an encouragement to dress in a sloppy or a thoughtless way. And Amish appearance in our day and age will draw as much unnecessary attention as somebody coming in costly attire and jewels. But also what is appropriate to the times with all modesty. Someone put it this way, and I thought it was pretty good thought, food for thought. Ladies, be not the first by whom the new is tried, nor yet the last to lay the old aside. In other words, move with the times. You don't have to dress like a 16th century woman, like the woman in the Sunday school this morning. No, just move with the times, but be careful of the times. Just be moderate, and use your common sense. Thus our text, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. In other words, it's great that you're beautiful. It's great that you've got a nice dress. And I love that you put your hair that way, but you know what's better? Is inward beauty linked to good works. Men, there's the catch. Look, this is not what is proper in the eyes of the world or the fashions of our time. We know that is rarely appropriate, but what is proper and reasonable and acceptable for women who profess godliness with good works. Remember Paul's advice to the Corinthian church, and there was a church with all kinds of problems, as you know, 1 Corinthians 14:40, but all things should be done decently and in order. So just apply those principles. I noted in a previous sermon also that one of the main virtues to be sought in a woman, when Paul was instructing about, and even we'll get to that in 1 Timothy also, what is a true woman? What is a true widow? Which widows should the church actually take care of? And who is a widow indeed? And one of the qualities and the virtues that qualified her, if you like, was that she has proved in her life before being widowed that she was known to be regular in her supplications and prayers, and now continues in them day and night. This really starts to show us what this inner beauty and adornment looks like in women who profess godliness with good works. In our letter, 1 Timothy 5, verse 10, listen to this, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. This is inner beauty with self-control. As our First Peter passage confirms, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's eyes is very precious. So ladies, how do I achieve this? How do I change my mindset as a woman if it's been a little skewed, particularly in worship, where I, like the men, are to come with holy hands and a pure heart to worship before God? Our passage that we looked at today in the 1 Peter passage and the reference to the true widows give us the answer here. As a woman who professes godliness, adorn yourself first with these things: this inner beauty, this self-control, this denying yourself to serve your husband, this denying yourself to serve Christ, this denying yourself to serve Christ's people. These are the things that are pleasing to God. This is setting your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So in summary, three things. Ladies, adorn yourselves with respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Secondly, in the place of worship and in your life, do first what pleases God. Dress yourself first with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And thirdly, rather than pursue the reputation for best dressed, perfect makeup, beautiful hair and accessories, desire to be first in good works, raising your children in the Lord, showing hospitality, serving the saints, care for and visit the afflicted, devote yourselves to every good work in your family, in the church, in your home. This is beauty that pleases God. Young men, this is the beauty that you must look for first in your future wife. In closing, five brief applications, something to take home and perhaps think about for ourselves. Number one, ladies, outward beauty and adorning must be for your husband. Outward beauty and adorning must be for your husband. Number two, ladies, dress your best, but do not let your appearance be a distraction or a temptation to men. Ladies, dress your best, but do not let your appearance be a distraction in worship or a temptation to men. Number three, inward godliness and beauty have eternal benefits, but the most beautiful flower fades and dies. Inward godliness and beauty have eternal benefits, but the most beautiful flower fades and dies. And two for the men. Men, number four, have eyes for your wife only. Men, have eyes for your wife only. Your wife is and must be beautiful to you. Love her and protect her. Fifthly, finally, young men, in looking for a wife in the Lord, look for inner beauty, that gentle and quiet spirit which God's sight is very precious. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fading, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word, how we thank you that your word speaks to the practical things of life. And we pray that we, as those who love the gospel, those who profess the faith of the gospel, that we, both men and women in the church, would adorn ourselves with the inner beauty, with the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, faithfulness and self-control. Lord, we pray that these would be our strengths, that these would form the inner beauty of your children here in the church. Oh Lord, give us wisdom and help us to set our minds on things which are above, not on things which are below, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.